We've been looking at the horrifying legacy of so-called boarding schools for Indigenous children, started in the U.S. in the 1800s to take the Indian out of the child. Now there's a move in the U.S. to investigate whether children died during that process. We'll have that story at hearenow.org. But the concern in the U.S. was inspired by what's happening across the border in Canada, where it's been a very emotional time for Canadian First Nations communities. Just over a week ago, there was elation over Roseanne Archibald's election as Canada's first ever female chief of Canada's Assembly of First Nations, leading almost a million people in 600 communities. But the country was also reeling at the news of unmarked graves of children at the Canadian residential schools that were modeled on U.S. schools. And soon after Chief Archibald's inauguration, more graves were discovered on an island off of British Columbia. That makes well over 1,000 graves so far of children forcibly taken from their families from the late 1880s to the 1990s, when the last institution closed. And last week ended with a heart-wrenching full day of testimony about the unmarked grave sites at the Kamloops School in British Columbia. We're honored to have Chief Archibald by Skype from British Columbia. But Chief Archibald, what a time. Excitement about your election, sorrow about this news. I don't know if you can speak generally, but how is your community doing?
Well, there are 600 communities, and the initial recoveries, I don't like to call them discoveries, they are recoveries of our children. And that really initiated many processes across Canada to use this ground-penetrating radar to search the former Indian residential schools. And I don't like to call them schools. They were institutions of assimilation and genocide. And our survivors said that for the longest time. They told stories of the deaths and murders that happened at these schools, and they weren't listened to. There has to be accountability, right?
Well, especially since in Canada, this is not new information. It's been known for a while. I mean, there was a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. There was a national apology. And as you said, many in the Native community in Canada have been saying this for decades. Let's listen to a survivor. This is Evelyn Camille testifying at the hearing.
We had tried to mention over and over and over, there are many children missing who did not reach home. Many of our children tried to cross the rivers, to swim across. Many were lost in the waters. Many of our children who ran away during the winter froze to death on their way home. The black robes start lying about the children.
The black robes, these were largely Catholic Church-run institutions in many cases. The black robes maybe meaning nuns or teachers, but this is something people tried to tell people. Talk about hearing that testimony, all that testimony last week.
It was extraordinarily emotional and heartbreaking. And as I was sitting in the room, I was watching other people, and many of them were triggered into their old trauma. They did have supports there for them. At the same time, anytime you bring up these kinds of horrors, many of the survivors have post-traumatic stress. When I was listening to the elders speak at the event, I could see these little girls. You know, when these things were happening to them, they were 5, 6 years old, like little kids. That's where the majority of Canadians have been deeply affected by this, because they see their own children and they understand now, number one, that genocide did happen in Canada, and our children were the targets of that.
I think we need to bore down here. That witness spoke of kids running away and drowning in rivers and freezing. Horrible. But you also mentioned these weren't schools. There weren't academics there. What are some of the things that survivors have said about what happened in these schools?
Well, they weren't schools. That's for certain. They were not allowed to speak their language. So anytime that they wanted to speak their language, they were either beaten, or one survivor talked about having to eat soap. And that's the language they learned in their homes. They come into these institutions and they're not allowed to speak it. That definitely is a part of the genocide that we're talking about. And they witness things too. You know, one of the worst stories I heard was survivors saying that babies were put into incinerators in the schools. And again, another really clear indication of genocide. These are crimes against humanity and they're crimes against children. It's just really tragic. I think what's important now, though, is that the truth is coming out, because we've often said there has to be truth before reconciliation. And Canadians are beginning to learn that truth. And many of your citizens, perhaps through your process, will begin to learn that truth as well. We have to set our sights on the light ahead, which is the healing that our survivors and our intergenerational trauma survivors will get to. But we do need the government to be accountable for that. They have done this damage through the colonial policies. And so they have to create programs and services and provide those funding and resources to communities. Reparations have to happen to communities, to families, right across Canada. And when you think about mental health and addiction issues, almost all of that comes out of the colonization experience, and particularly the fact that every family had to send their children to school. And there's a scholar in Ontario called Dr. Pam Toulouse, and she wrote that 100% of First Nations people suffer from intergenerational trauma. 100%. That's the impact of these institutions.
You're talking about healthcare and reparations, but you're also calling for a criminal investigation into lay staff members and priests and nuns who ran these institutions. And because the Royal Canadian Mounted Police sometimes forced the, you know, kidnapping of children from families, you want this to be an independent investigation. What do you want to come from that?
Justice. That's what these children deserve. It's not just the actual individuals. It is the government of Canada that has to be accountable for this, that has to bring justice to these children. I want you to imagine that if you had any kind of institution in the U.S. and they even found 10 children's bodies outside of that institution, what would be happening right now? There would be a huge criminal investigation. We're talking about over 1,600 children so far. By the time that all of these schools do their ground penetrating radar processes, there will be thousands upon thousands upon thousands of children. And somebody has to be accountable for that. There have to be reparations for that. That cannot go unpunished. And so there is a difficulty because the Canadian government is in a conflict itself. It can't investigate itself with its own policies. We need that international process. And at the Assembly of First Nations, we just passed a resolution calling on the United Nations International Criminal Court to get involved.
Yeah. Look, there's been no formal apology from the Catholic Church, but there is a First Nations delegation headed to the Vatican in December. Is that something you hope to get, an apology?
Well, we need the Pope to come to this country to apologize. You know, when I was asked when I was campaigning whether I would go, I said, no, I will not go to the Vatican. We need more than an apology. We need reparations. We need justice. We're not going to get that by having a lovely visit with the Pope in the Vatican. We need action. Apologies are great, but action is what we need right now.
And there is action being taken against the church. At least 5 have been burned in Canada in retaliation. The rage is understandable. But what do you want to say to your people?
I get it. You know, there is so much hurt. You're talking about thousands of children. The rage and the hurt is deep, and it's hundreds of years old. Burning, destroying the edifices and the representations of colonization, we need to do more than that. We need to actually decolonize our whole system. First Nations need to live in a world that our spirituality, that our culture and our language are respected and lifted up. This whole genocide process was about destroying everything about us, including taking the lives of our children. What needs to happen are the systemic issues, the systemic racism, the systemic hatred, the systemic looking down upon Indigenous people and First Nations people. That's what has to change. Now, is that an easy process? No. Is it complicated? Yes. Can we get there? Yes, we can do it one step at a time so that we can lift each other up and live in a society where everyone is safe and loved and respected and deemed worthy.
That's Chief Roseanne Archibald, elected just over a week ago as the first female chief of Canada's Assembly of First Nations, talking about the horrifying revelations, the recovery of unmarked graves at former institutions for Indigenous children. Chief Archibald, thank you.
Thank you very much. Take care.
And again, these Canadian so-called schools were modeled on U.S. institutions. We'll link you to our story on this American legacy at hereandnow.org.